Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, which is a podcast about podcasting from a podcast production company. I'm your host, Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence, and with me as always is Swiss Army Knife at Earfluence, Cece Huffman. What's good, Cece?
Hello. I'm going to change my LinkedIn job title to that. We can Swiss make Army it like Knife. Legal and official, but that's my actual position.
I love it. Awesome. Cece, we've got a guest coming on today that has been on over 200 podcast episodes as a guest. So, I mean, we're going to be podcast number 250 or something like that for this guy. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be all excited to come on our show, but we will see, right?
Right. And I mean, we are definitely going to talk about a lot of these things, but a couple months ago, I talked to Larry Long Jr., who doesn't have a podcast of his own, but is on a podcast pretty much every week or every other week for somebody else. And it's crazy what it can do for your personal brand, even though you don't have one on your own. So I'm definitely excited to talk about it and check out that article on our website after this, if you want to read more.
Yes, absolutely. Larry Long is the legend, the man with the golden mic. Check out that article on earfluence.com. But what he's been able to do to leverage his personal brand through podcasting, you're right, is just phenomenal. All right, Cece, well, let's bring in our guest. All right, so Mark Hirschberg is a 20-year MIT professor, author of the book, The Career Toolkit, fractional CTO, speaker, and for the purposes of this conversation, serial podcast guest. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the show today. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you on. And I mean, I mentioned at the top that you've been a podcast guest on, you were telling me offline, over 200 podcasts in the last year. And what we're going to talk about is marketing 101 for the podcast, because you know, you've seen some things that have been done well. You've seen some things that have not been done well. But let's go back to a why, and starting off with not just your why, but for our audience, like, why do you feel like people should start podcasts?
Podcasting, I'm obviously a big fan. And by the way, we're not quite at 250 yet. I think I'm around 220, 230. So that's where this recording falls in.
All right.
When you're thinking about doing a podcast, it's the same thing we teach authors about books. Start with, why are you doing this? Now, here's the secret in the book industry. No one should ever write books saying, ooh, I think I'm going to make a lot of money. You are probably not the next Stephen King. You're also probably not the next Joe Rogan. If you're thinking, I'm going to start a podcast and make millions of dollars, this might not be the path for you, right? Thinking your podcast is going to generate that money. But just like a book, it might have other benefits. So there are different reasons you might want to create the podcast. Now, one might be, hey, I just want to do a show once a week with my buddies and we talk about stuff. And that's great. Money's not your reason. You're having fun. Go do it. It might be, I want to meet interesting people. Fantastic. Well, make sure you do a show with guests, but that's going to give you that opportunity. It could be you have a particular product or service to sell. And you say, by doing this, I am going to expand my reach. I'm going to raise my visibility and use it to market that product or service. We see this often with books where someone says, well, I'm a consultant. By having the book, it gives me more credibility, or I use it as a business card when I'm reaching out and connecting with people. So there are different reasons you can do this. I've even seen podcasts used as a lead gen source, not in the sense of, well, if I get out there, people are aware of me and they start calling me for business. In fact, their guests are their target customers, and they use the podcast as a way to connect to potential customers as guests. So there are different reasons you can do it. And depending on what you're trying to do, you will likely look at different types of marketing solutions.
That's awesome, Mark. And I love it from a business development standpoint. And that's why a lot of our clients sign up with us, is because they want to be able to say, hey, do you want to come on my podcast? Versus, hey, can I talk about my products with you? Right. Or can I show you a demo of what we're doing? It's such an easier ask to say, hey, do you want to come on my podcast? So I absolutely love that one, Mark.
My friend Olivia Fox Caban, she wrote the book, The Charisma Myth. And she has great advice that if you want to build your network and meet people, when you're part of a group, there are two committees in particular you want to be a part of. The first is the membership committee, and the second is the awards committee. Because in both cases, you are reaching out, offering. You're saying, hey, we'd like to invite you to be a member, or welcome new member. I want to make sure you're doing okay. The awards committee, whether it's an award or bringing in speakers, you're saying, hi, I think you're someone special, and I want to give you an award or honor you in some way by having you talk to our group. People love that. So when you have a podcast, you're saying, I want to put you on stage. I think you're special. And that's a great way to start a relationship.
Wow.
Definitely.
That's so great. I never thought about the awards, but every now and then you'll get emails of, hey, you've just been nominated for this award. And you're like, what are you? I don't even know what this is. But it's a bit of a reverse hustle, right? On you need to pay for the, need to pay for this membership first before you can accept this award.
That's just an outright scam. I certainly remember the Who's Who awards that
that's the one.
We had in high school. Yeah, that's just more of a scam. But really, if you're part of some group and saying, we want to honor you, you get to meet these really interesting, fascinating, clearly accomplished people.
Yeah, definitely. Another one, Mark, is the content creation from podcasts. So a great reason to have a podcast is because as a business, especially, you need all this content for social media, for videos, for maybe books eventually, or course creation. It's so hard to sit down and write some of these blog posts. But when you have a podcast already there, it's just that content engine that can be repurposed for all these things. And every episode, you can have seven different pieces of content from that. So that's another great reason to have a podcast.
That's a great point. In fact, you can take a blog post, for example, turn that blog post into a podcast episode, maybe one without a guest where you're just reading the blog post. You can then create audio snippets, video snippets. You can create quotes. You can put that out. You can generate dozens of pieces of content from a single podcast episode or blog post by just constantly repurposing them and chopping them up in different ways.
That's so great. So Mark, obviously you had certain goals for being a guest on podcasts. When did you think like, you know what, I'm going to make it an initiative for me to go out and guest on dozens and eventually hundreds of podcasts? And then what was your why?
When I realized I was writing a business book, which was not my plan, I thought I was writing a handful of notes and then realized, I think this is a book. This is more than 20 pages. I sat down with my friend, Dory Clark, who is an extremely successful business author. I said, Dory, I think I'm writing a book. Can you give me some advice? Because I've never done this before. Just as any new podcaster, turn to whether it's an organization like yours or just other podcasters, you can find communities online, get advice from other people. So I went to Dory, and one of the things she said to me is, get on podcasts. She said for her next book, she's going to get on 150 podcasts. Her book just came out, and she's now going through that process. I said, okay, well, if she's doing 150, I'm doing 150. But once I figured out how to get on them, first, I'm an overachiever. So I'm not just going to say, okay, 150 done. But then also, once I figured out the process and how to get on it, at this point, it doesn't take a lot of effort because I've systematized most of it. So I can just keep going and going. And for me as a guest, so my goal, I've got my book and I want to raise awareness for the book, for the app, for my speaking. I just need to get in front of audiences, and podcasts are a great way to do it. So I'm going to continue to do that.
Yep. Cece, didn't you produce a podcast episode with Dory?
Yeah. And she was talking about the book. Yeah. She was talking about the book then too. So that's awesome that it's come out.
Yeah. And she's got the processes in place as well, where she's got that newsletter with Cece, what was it, like 40,000 people on the newsletter or something like that. And so she's putting out, you know, all her guest appearances on that newsletter, and then, you know, selling the book that way. And just, again, this content engine. But that's great. So, all right, Mark, you know, we understand your why. Now, you wrote an article in Medium called The 9 Lessons from 99 Shows. So this was back when you weren't at number 230, whatever. You were.
Yeah, this was a while ago.
The article, just to give her credit, was written by Tracy Hazard. So Tracy, who runs the Binge Factor podcast, she was my 99th show. And so we did a special episode about that, and we put together, here are the tips for podcasters, but from a guest perspective.
So what were some of those tips? So there are 9 lessons from your first 99 shows. What were some of the lessons from the article?
So these are lessons for podcast hosts, like many people listening here. To make it easy for guests, try to systematize what you're doing. This can be a couple different things. One is make it easy to book. Lots of people have a form, or they might have a Calendarly link for scheduling. Because if I have to email you back and forth and say, well, here's the dates I'm free, or where the dates you're free. Oh, wait, here's a date. No, wait, that now got booked up in the intermediate time. Now, just put some type of booking link, make it easy. Intake forms definitely make it easier for you. So you've got, here are my social media links, here's my bio, anything you want from me, all in one place. I happen to have media kits, most guests do not. So put the form to get what you need. But also tell me something about your show. When I go on to shows, I have to ask questions first. Is it audio or video? I don't always know. I search around, because that tells me if it's audio. I show up in a t-shirt, I don't have any of the lighting set up, and great, this is casual. Oh, it's video? I need to be shaved, I need to be dressed, I need to have lighting. Happy to do it, but I just want to know how to prepare, because I don't want to sit under all the hot lights if it's just audio.
Right.
Second, tell me something about your audience. Okay, you're a business podcast. Great, I know we're not talking to school teachers, but is it young people? Is it experienced people? Is it more solopreneurs or founders? Is it executives? Is it primarily US? Is it US and Europe? Anything you can tell me is helpful, because a good guest, and hopefully you want to get those good guests, will be able to tailor answers most relevant to the audience, but we need to know who the audience is. Now, it doesn't mean you have to say, here's how many downloads I've had.
Yeah, don't unveil everything.
I always love hearing that. Just it's helpful to me, but I understand if you don't want to share it. But tell me what you can about the composition of your audience. And by the way, if you don't know, because of course, not all the platforms share that much information, you can do surveys. You can send out and say, hey, we're going to do a quick survey and tell me what are the topics you're interested in. And by the way, answer these 3 questions about who you are to start getting a sense of who your audience is. And then finally, when you put out your show and you put everything together, first, remember to let the guests know that it's live. Not everyone does, because we will promote it for you. We want to get more listens to that show. If you can make it easy for us, I make it easy for you, the host, by giving you a media kit. Here's my bio. Here's my headshot. Here's topics. Here's questions. Here's things to make your life easier so you don't have to do this work. Do the same for me. Here are images. Here are quotes. Here are links. Here are hashtags. Here are tags. If you give all that to me, it makes it easier for me to post, to promote, to tag you. So we all want to make things easier for each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. And from a podcast production standpoint, we always encourage our clients to make sure that their guests know, or if not, we'll tell them ourselves, like, hey, our guests or your podcast just aired, and here are the exact ways to promote it. And if you make it super easy for them to do that, like even writing out, here's what you could write on LinkedIn. Here's a video you could share on LinkedIn. Here's an audiogram you could put out there, and then writing what they need to say. I mean, people don't want to spend the time to think about what they are going to do. Like, they have that hour window for the recording, and then they don't plan on afterwards, you know, spending 10 minutes or 15 minutes during their day and trying to write something for LinkedIn. You know, they have other things to do. So if you can make it as simple as a copy and paste, they're much more likely to promote it.
And as we all know, yes, there's a lot of effort in putting together the show, in prepping for and doing the interview, but you have to market your shows. You can't just be a successful podcaster saying, well, I recorded, click, done. Maybe someone's going to edit, but that's it. You have to market. I know as an author, I put more effort into marketing than I've done writing. Those 200 hours just of the recording, let alone the researching shows and outreach and all the other things I do, that's what I need to do to be a successful author. Podcasters, authors, we're all content creators. You have to put time into marketing, and that's a lot of time. And if you can make it easy for other people to help market for you by doing the work for them, that's going to increase your marketing.
So what are some of the best podcast marketing efforts that you've seen out there? Like, you've been on 200 and something podcasts, and you've seen things done poorly. You've seen things done well. What are some of the best ones where you're like, ooh, that's interesting? Like, I haven't really seen that before, but that is a great way to market your podcast.
Two things that really stand out. First is when you have a show coming out, let's say you're doing a weekly show. We mentioned before, you get multiple pieces of content out of that show. You can do audio clips, you can do quotes. So often there will be a teaser. So the show, let's say, drops Thursday. You're going to start putting out, maybe it's over the weekend, maybe it's Monday. You're going to put out, here's a 60-second audio clip. Or get ready to listen to the show. You're going to hear about this. And you put out these teasers and start to promote it. It's not a lot of extra effort. You went through that whole hour anyway to listen as you did the editing or prepping. And as you do so, just make a note. Oh, there was a good 20-second quote. There was a couple words. I just want to jot that down and put that in some tech social media. So you want to do the teaser before and after. I'll say a 1A, and then I'll get to a second one. I've also seen people, we do the interview. I say, oh, and I also have, here's five questions I like to ask to other people. This is my five standard questions. Get to know the person better. And then you get this quick second podcast episode. You might do a 45-minute, here's the interview. But then you've got a 6-minute rapid-fire question session. Sometimes that's dropped before or after the episode as a teaser, but it's also yet another show that people can engage with in very bite-sized content. Now, here's the second thing I've seen that is phenomenal. People like my friend Robin Colucci, she does this well, Robin Colucci of The Author's Corner. She takes the entire podcast, generates a transcript from it, turns that transcript into a blog post. So now you have this beautiful blog post, and she'll take in images and other things. Now you have this beautiful blog post. People might want to read instead of listen. Okay, you're about getting content out to people. If they prefer reading, that's easy because there's transcription services that are very cheap. Also, now you have fantastic SEO on your website. Every word from that podcast is now there helping your SEO from every episode you produce. So consider turning your, we talked earlier about blogs into podcasts, turn your podcast into a blog.
This is great. Cece, what do you have to add to that as far as what we're doing for our clients in marketing?
Ultimately, not a ton. It's really important with the amount that you can make that you make something and that you share it. Like, ultimately, that's the goal. Whether you can do all of that or only part of that, it's really important to take this bigger thing that you have, make it digestible and say, like, aren't you hungry, everybody? And then they'll go to the actual show, you know? I think that it's a major part. You can't really just have a podcast. You have to have a podcast and you have to have videos and you have to have graphics. Like, it's, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, definitely. And Mark, one thing that we've learned over the years with producing podcasts and marketing them as well is that it's not, the marketing of the podcast isn't totally about adding to the download numbers. I mean, yes, that's going to be helpful. And yes, your download numbers will increase from marketing your podcast, but it's also a way for people to see, oh, wow, Mark Hirschberg was on this amazing podcast. Or, oh, wow, I see the career toolkit there in the background of that. I wonder what the career toolkit is. And so, like, having these other assets that you can share, and it just amplifies the value of having that podcast, right? Even without having the download numbers increase, like, significantly.
That's a really great point. So first, of course, there's that social proof. For me, well, I've been over 200 shows. This guy's probably not a total buffoon. There must be something there that gets invited back. But you also never know where a single episode is going to lead. Now, I've gotten from doing podcasts, I've had people reach out and say, we want to bring you into our company. We want to bring you onto our campus. That was perhaps one, they presumably heard the show, but that show might have had only 10 downloads, but one of those downloads was someone who wanted to book me to come speak. That's a huge win for me, far better than 500 people listened to the show and no action was taken. I've had the podcasters themselves bring me in because many podcasters, this isn't their full-time job, bring me in and say, oh, for my company, this was great. Why don't you come in and speak at my organization? So recognize, to your point, there are other ways you can benefit. It can drive, even if they're not downloading the show or hearing about it, can drive them to your website. It can drive them to your business or services. Or that connection you make with your guest can lead to some other new opportunities as a huge win for you, irregardless of how many downloads you get. Excuse me, regardless.
You know what? There's a restaurant in Raleigh here called the Irregardless Cafe.
One of my friends is an English professor, and I should not use appropriate language, especially as a writer myself.
Right. So, listen, it happens to the best of us. You can't Grammarly your brain.
That's right. So Mark, what are you doing to promote your book besides being on a bunch of podcasts? Because you said that marketing a podcast and marketing a book is kind of similar, right? So, you know, what are you doing to promote your book?
I will tell you, for me, podcasting is definitely my number one way to promote. I've done a little bit of online advertising. I plan to do some more of that. That's, of course, pretty standard. That may or may not make sense for your podcast. With my book, I can run ads and I can see literally how much am I paying per ad, what percentage convert into sales, how much do I make per sale. With podcasts, we know you're not making money off of your podcast unless you're lucky enough to get sponsorship and you know here's your how much sponsorship you get by number of downloads. So the conversion might not work out as directly for direct ads. Social media is big for me. I post every day. And by the way, I use a tool I happen to use later, but whether you're using later, Buffa, Canva, one of these tools, the great thing is you can cross post to different channels. Having a business book, LinkedIn is by far my biggest channel. Facebook, I don't know if anyone even looks at that, but it doesn't matter. It takes me no effort to post to Facebook because using these tools, I create one post, cross post it to all four of these for the same amount of effort. So I post social media on all channels and just, you never know, that one random Facebook post could lead to some business down the line. Then I do speaking as well and other types of events to help promote the book.
Gotcha. So talk about LinkedIn. Have you done LinkedIn ads for your book and has that been successful? And then can that translate to podcasters as well?
I have not tried LinkedIn ads.
Okay.
So I don't know the efficacy of it. The key thing to remember, of course, is ads are always designed to, I've been in online advertising. I've been a CTO of different online advertising companies. So you always look at the ROI. Now that ROI might be a click, or it might be ultimately to a sale. And businesses have moved towards how many actually convert to sales with the example I gave of the book. Here, the best you can hope for is a click to your website because you're not going to be able to convert into a sale. So you're just going to have to do some extra work on your own to determine, is this an effective ROI for you based on your cost per click?
Yep, definitely. And we have not seen that be as effective as some other not tricks, but tactics like coming up with ads, like actual podcast ads on, say, a Spotify or doing ad swaps with podcasts. So, you know, when you are a podcaster, and maybe this is a 201 class, but when you're a podcaster, you can come up with a 60-second ad and then swap with another podcaster. And so that ad can play on your show and your ad can play on their show. And ideally, it's the same type of audience and your audiences both grow from that. Or you can pay a minimum of $250 to Spotify to put your ad on some of their channels and some of the podcasts from there. And so, again, you can narrow it down to what that particular niche is that you want to focus on. And it's not that much money to try it out and see where it leads to.
I can share from the author world. Typically, some of the most effective ads for us are run on Amazon because that's when someone is in market for the book. And likewise, if they're on Spotify, they are likely a podcast consumer. So they're in market. The other thing that works well is those list shares. If you're an author and I'm an author and we have similar genres, we can do that cross promotion. So that's exactly what you're talking about with let's share ads for each other's shows. So I think at least what we've seen in the author world, both of those strategies will work very well.
Yep, definitely. Any other tips for our audience as far as marketing 101 for their podcast?
I would say remember that ultimately it is about providing value to the audience. And I remember that as a guest. You hopefully remember that as a host. Forget about what you're trying to sell or whatever your service is. Create value for your audience. If you build it, they will come. And I think that's how you're going to generate the most value. One other marketing tip I'll offer. Might be less marketing, but it's a good concept. It's a highlight reel. If you ask people your standard question, maybe it's one question, maybe it's five questions. That question could be something like, what was the biggest lesson you learned as a child? Or what do you wish you knew when you first graduated college? Whatever, something kind of general, universal. And this is one of your five questions. What you can do is take that one question. At the end of the year, if you've done 52 shows, you now have, if you get a 1 minute answer, you've got 52 minutes of answers to the show. And at the end of the year, you can say, we're going to create a highlight reel. We're going to take that 1 minute answer from all 50 of our guests this year and create this really awesome show for free. That's going to be, I suspect, an extremely popular show. You might do it maybe each half year, if depending on length of the answers, length of your show, but consider creating highlight reels from your shows and you can get some really good traction that way.
Yes, I love that. And CeCe is a master at doing that for our clients. We've done a couple, one where one of our clients, the Donald Thompson podcast, he always asks, what do you read? And to his guests. And so we did a compilation of that and she turned that into both a podcast episode for the show and then a video reel. So like, you know, it's short, something like 20 minutes video reel, but just like tons of information on what do you read and great book recommendations all in one sitting, right? And then we did one for the Innovate Raleigh conference where we asked everybody, what does it mean to innovate Raleigh? Well, we're going to put that compilation together at some point. And so we have 8 leaders in Raleigh talking about what does it mean to innovate Raleigh and have that as a full episode and as a video segment. So yeah, I mean, CeCe is a master at doing that. That is a great, great idea, Mark.
Fantastic. Hopefully that will bring some value to your audience and their podcasts.
Yeah, and it's fun. So
it does. It breaks up doing the standard interview type of shows, right? And it goes to something fun. Mark, tell us about the Career Toolkit.
This is based on the class I've been teaching at MIT for 20 years. Leadership, negotiating, networking, how to work effectively with managing your manager and fitting into corporate culture, creating a career plan. These are all the skills that help us to be successful that no one bothered to teach us. And so we started this program 20 years ago to get these skills into our students. But of course, it's not just MIT students who need this. Universally, everyone, because we've seen similar research from other universities. We've seen feedback from corporations. These are the skills they want. So I put all into a book with clear, actionable tips. So as you read the book, you get a mental shift into how to think about each of these skills and then tips for how to execute on it. There's also the free companion app, because whenever you read a book or listen to a podcast, you say, wow, what great tips. And then you forget a few weeks later. So the free app just once a day pops it up like a daily affirmation, one of the tips, and helps keep it top of mind.
Awesome. All right. Have you put the Career Toolkit on audio yet?
I have not done it yet, and that has a lot to do with ACX policies and how payments work, and many in the author community are not happy with how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get paid a ton on those, for sure, but it is another way for the audience to consume the content. Mark, you have time for a couple fun questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So you've been on 200 and something podcasts. If you can think back, what's the weirdest question somebody has asked you?
I'd say this one. I'm sure Meta. There has been a weird one or two, but nothing so weird where it's like, what's your favorite sandwich? Where it just totally threw me.
All right. Well, what's your favorite sandwich then?
My favorite sandwich is pizza.
Okay. Interesting take.
It is a sandwich. You have bread. You have sauce, you have cheese. It's an open-faced sandwich, and it's pizza.
That might be the most controversial answer.
Right. I would argue that an open-faced sandwich, if it's been cooked, is actually toast. That's
perhaps a valid perspective, but I'm trained as a physicist. And so one of the things we, of course, learn in physics, the particle wave nature of all matter and reality. So I'm okay accepting that toast and sandwich, it can be both at the same time.
Right. It's like a rectangle can be a square, but a square can't be a rectangle, or whatever the answer to that is.
Both can be either. So it's light can be a particle or a wave. It can be electromagnetic wave or it can be a photon. So it can be a sandwich or it can be a piece of toast.
Coming up on the Earfluence podcast, Cece Huffman debates an MIT professor about what a sandwich is.
Hey, that's not science.
This is now definitely the weirdest question.
Awesome. And then do you have a, and don't say this one, do you have a favorite episode that you've been on that you can point other listeners to?
I've been lucky to have so many really fantastic episodes with some great hosts. One of my favorite podcasts, The Struggle is Real with Justin Peters. He did a fantastic amount of research prior to the show. And so we got some really good questions in there.
That's the trick, right? When you're hosting a podcast is, yes, you want to be off the cuff on a lot of things. But if you can do your research and understand the guest, you can dig so much deeper into the content and get the best episode from that.
Yeah, he was asking me questions that the information was out there, but most people never found it to ask about it. And so on the one hand, you know, there's that spontaneity of, ooh, that question, but it wasn't, oh my God, I don't know how to answer it because it's things I know about. And so I think it created a good level of dynamicism and interest to the podcast episode.
Awesome. Well, Mark, I really appreciate the time and coming on the Earfluence podcast here. How can our audience connect with you?
You can go to my website, careertoolkitbook.com, to learn more about the book and touch with me, follow me on social media, download the app, check out the blog, or get in touch with me for speaking, all at careertoolkitbook.com.
Awesome. Well, Mark, thanks again for coming on the Earfluence podcast here.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, Cece, what a great episode, Marketing 101 for your podcast.
Definitely.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us on the Earfluence podcast. We truly appreciate your time. For more information on full service podcast production and more episodes that we've done, visit earfluence.com. For Cece Huffman, I'm Jason Gilligan, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.